Liz is here with me. I'm married and been married for 44 years. I've got 3 children, 6 grandchildren and 1 cat. We're sort of retired. And the sort of means that we still do a lot of traveling, supporting church planters and missionaries all over the country in terms of pastoral support and discipling and mentoring them. So we're still involved in a number of things. So we can't be here every Sunday. Okay, you've got some paper on the table in front of you, some large pieces of paper. You can use those for 2 reasons or not at all. One is that you could make notes of things that people have said during the service today, but also use it if you wish to draw a picture. Sometimes it's much easier to express how you feel rather than in words, but in as a picture. So just feel free to just draw whatever comes to mind. It may be something that's prompted as we just look very briefly at the Lord's Supper. It could well be that you want to express something of the mystery of God or the majesty of God, or it may be that you want to say something about your thankfulness to God for what he has done for you. But whatever you would like, then there's some pencils and crayons and more here. There's more paper if you need it, but it would be lovely if you felt that you could draw something to express how you feel at the moment, and then, of course, tear it up, take it home with you as well, the notes and also the picture. We're going to read a Bible passage this morning. It's coming up on the screen, hopefully. Here we are. Then came the day of unleavened bread, we read in Luke 22, on which the Passover lamb had to be sacrificed. Jesus sent Peter and John, saying, "Go and make preparations for us to eat the Passover." "Where do you want us to prepare for it?" they asked. And he replied, "As you enter the city, a man carrying a jar of water will meet you. Follow him to the house that he enters and say to the owner of the house, 'The teacher asks, where is the guest room that I may eat the Passover with my disciples?' He will show you a large room upstairs, all furnished. Make preparations there." And they left and found things just as Jesus has told them. So they prepared the Passover. Isn't that amazing when you think about it? That here Jesus just told them to go to this place, and that was the place that he had prepared for this farewell meal. And when the hour came, Jesus and his apostles reclined at the table, and he said to them, "I have eagerly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I tell you, I will not eat it again until it finds fulfillment in the kingdom of God." And after taking the cup, he gave thanks and said, "Take this and divide it among you, for I tell you, I will not drink again from the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes." And he took bread, gave thanks, and broke it and gave it to them, saying, "This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, after the supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is poured out for you." And Paul in Corinthians adds to that, and he said, "For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes again." We've got 3 questions that we're going to ask ourselves at the tables. The first question is this: why do you think Jesus chose a meal for us to remember him by? And the second part of that question is, why do you think he chose this particular meal for us to remember him by? The second question is this: try to put yourselves in the place of the disciples. What would you be feeling at this meal? And thirdly, why do we need something like this so we remember him. Okay? You've got 10 minutes at your tables. Just talk one with another. Seek to get some answers to those questions, and we'll share some of those answers in about 10 minutes. If you're on a table with too small a number of people, then you can transfer to somebody else's table if they accept you. Okay? So you probably need at least 4 of you or 5 of you at a table. Why a meal? Celebrations, yeah, that's why. Have you any idea why? Because, you know, food is, you know, we have food in order to give us energy and to keep us alive and so on. But what makes food so special that it's like a social thing, that we do it together? Well, any ideas? I mean, I haven't got an answer. I'm just asking the question, really. It's an excuse to spend time together, isn't it, really? Yeah. I mean, if we were in France, I mean, their evening meal is the whole evening, isn't it, where they just drink wine and have about 4 or 5 courses, and you know, the children are involved, and it's just a long, long, drawn-out thing. But it's because the interrelationship, it's the things that they do together. So Jesus chose a meal in order that we might remember him, and that's amazing. And actually, if you think about it, the disciples had spent 3 years with Jesus, and they didn't just hear him teach, they didn't just watch him heal, they didn't just see the way that reacted to opposition and so on. They actually lived with him for 3 years. They lived in his pocket, so to speak, if he had pockets. Just spent time with him, ate with him, and just hung out with him and spent time with him. And right at the end, you know, after Jesus had ascended into heaven, you know, people said, you know, those people have been with Jesus. Well, one of the reasons why they saw that was that they knew from the reaction of the disciples that they just somehow imbibed something of what Jesus had to give them, not because they heard him teach only, but because they'd actually spent time with him. And it's great to spend time with him. That's why we think always, you know, when we want to come together as church, we think, let's come together for a meal. Let's come together for a meal. Weddings, you know, you think of a wedding. A wedding ought to be a wedding just on the basis of the ceremony, but actually, culturally, we have a reception, we have a meal. Even when somebody dies, you have a meal, a wake to remember them. So whenever a celebration happens, then you tend to sort of think of food and so on. This was the last time that Jesus was together with his disciples. This was the very, very last occasion, and therefore it was natural that they would have a meal together. But why this particular meal? Why this particular meal, do you think? Go here first. Ladies first. Well, thank you, Sally. Yeah, that's great. Nick? Yeah, that's right. There was something important about Jesus choosing this meal, that they were celebrating the Passover. They were remembering that time when God saved them through the blood on the lintels above the doorposts, if you recall, back in Exodus, where the firstborn were all killed, but the blood over the doorpost actually was the protection, was the guarding. And it was a special time for the disciples. And so making preparation for it was very significant. And actually, the detail of the Passover service, we haven't got time to look at it now, but the detail was amazing. All the different foods that represented different things and the different cups of wine that represented all sorts of different things. And the disciples were organizing it together. And what Jesus was doing was bringing together all of that huge background that the disciples knew already and actually said, look, this is fulfilled in me. This is actually fulfilled in me, you know, because this bread that we're eating represents my body. This blood, this wine that we're drinking represents blood shed for you. And the disciples probably didn't know what he was still talking about, but this was something of an amazing sacrifice that the disciples were actually going to see in the next day or so. A wooden cross reconciling us to God in every way, paying our debt for our sins. And so Jesus said, don't forget. Don't cease to be thankful. Don't cease to be amazed. Because actually, this is a foretaste, because there's another dining table that you'll be at, and that's in heaven, when we will be constantly feasting, banqueting with Jesus, with the Father, with the Holy Spirit in heaven in due course. Okay, second question. Try to put yourself in the shoes, the sandals of the disciples. What would you be feeling at this meal? What would you be feeling at this meal? Any suggestions, any offers? What would you be feeling? Yeah. What is all this about? Because actually Jesus hadn't gone to the cross at this point. But this was looking ahead. So confusion, certainly. What else do you think they might be feeling? Yeah, like a very much a cloud of unknowing being. Yeah, sorry? Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, just that sense, you know, well, what is all this about, and what's going to happen next, and so on. Yeah. I think they probably felt overloaded as well, really, that, you know, suddenly a friend is saying that he's going to go, and you know, I don't think I can process this at all. I wonder whether they thought of the feeding the 5,000. Because actually, when you think about it, you know, Jesus took the bread, he broke it, and he gave thanks, and he gave it. Well, that's exactly what he did with the feeding of the 5,000. I wonder perhaps whether the disciples thought, is there something significant here that we don't actually understand about spiritual things, about spiritual blessing, you know, because actually that's what God does with our lives, isn't it? He takes us, he blesses us, he breaks us, puts us back together again and gives us a new life, which is amazing. Anything else you think that the disciples might have been feeling at this time? Sorry? Scared, yes. Really frightened, I would guess, because, you know, those religious people were threatening people, weren't they? The Pharisees and the scribes and the Sadducees, they were really, really threatening people. Jesus dealt with them, but I'm not sure the disciples dealt with them very well. And Peter's reaction was to cut off the ear of the servant of one of them, after all. Anything else? Yeah. I tried to imply that, first of all, really, but it does seem amazing, doesn't it, really? I mean, nothing is amazing for Jesus, but for them, they think, wow, how did we get here, and how did all this happen? Just amazing. Just like, you know, the provision of the donkey when Jesus came into Jerusalem a day or so before. Anything else? Yes. Yes. Yeah. They didn't want to fail. And an example of that is Peter, because not in this particular passage, but in another passage, it talks about how, you know, Jesus said, well, you'll deny me three times, and Oh, no, I won't. But he did. And Judas Iscariot, I wonder what he was feeling at the time, because he just got his 30 pieces of silver, or promised the 30 pieces of silver. I think that in addition to all those things, which I can understand, I think they were just friends as well. You know, this was just like a friend's meal. You know, they were just sharing together in an amazing way. Okay, thirdly, lastly, why do we need something like this, something like communion, or breaking of bread, or whatever we call it? Why do we need something like this so that we can remember Jesus? Any thoughts? Yeah. Yes. It isn't a lonely thing. Yeah. Yeah. Something in our evangelical upbringing actually means that everything is personal, but actually so much of what Jesus did was corporate. It was about doing stuff together. I mean, I feel quite challenged. I mean, I'm not, I believe in believer's baptism and fully, but I sometimes am challenged by, you know, the Philippian jailer, you know, that he became a Christian and the whole of his family became Christian. How did that work? You know, but I sometimes wonder whether salvation has a corporate dimension to it as well as a personal dimension to it. Yeah, thank you for that. Anything else? Nick? Yeah. Yes. No. It's a sort of version of it, though, isn't it? I suppose in some ways communion is a sort of version of the Passover, but actually we know the ending, I suppose. Is the difference, the distinction. Yeah, thank you for that. Anything else? Yes, Andrew. Yes. Nobody's more important, because actually one of the debates the disciples had after this passage was who's going to be the greatest in the kingdom of God, you know, and, you know, we're all there as servants. We serve one another, and, you know, it's a leveler. Thank you for that. Anything else? He told us to do it. So actually, when Jesus commands us to do something, we need to do it. That's quite challenging, actually, when you think of the other commands in the Bible. When Jesus says, do it, we do it. Brilliant. Thank you. Anything else? Sorry? Yes. Yes. Because it says each time you meet, doesn't it? Don't quite know what that means and how one would interpret that, but yes. 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 Well, I've heard somebody preaching some years ago, and they actually said as part of their message that actually communion was the most important way in which we worship God when we come together to meet. More important than singing or, sorry, bands. Sorry, it was great, thank you. But actually, some people think that, you know, communion is really very, very important. Anything else? It's simple, yeah, that's right. No? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yes. So they thought it was hocus pocus. That's where it comes from. So it's not just a leveler, as Andrew says, it's also a unifier, because we can celebrate it with people we don't even understand their language, and yet we can still celebrate it. Yeah. You heard it first here at Alma, incidentally, that, if you remember that about Hocus Pocus. Rice. Yes. And if we were in Israel, we'd be having matzos, wouldn't we, rather than bread, probably. Yeah. But Jesus said, I am the bread of life, of course, and I suppose there's a connection there. I'm the rice of life, yes. You heard that first here as well. We're only a step away from curry again, aren't we, really? Yeah. Okay, just one thing I just wanted to say about this, that, you know, there's this command, do this in remembrance of me. But what I feel challenged about with this passage, finally, is what does it mean to remember? What does it mean to remember? I mean, I've been married for 44 years, you know, and actually, I don't wake up on my anniversary morning and say to my wife, I want you to note that I have remembered that it's our anniversary. I would probably get beaten up or something like that, you know, beaten around the ears, because actually what we do is we do something. You know, we go out for a meal, or, you know, we go somewhere special, or we visit somewhere special. We don't just sort of acknowledge that it's our anniversary. And there's something about remembering. We're a bit Greek. Sorry about this, but we're a bit Greek, because actually the Greeks, their definition of remembering is to recollect or recall to mind something that is no longer a present reality. But the Jews wouldn't have understood that, because for Jews, remembering means taking part here and now in an event that happened a long time ago but is still relevant today and will be in the future. And that's what the Passover was. It was a dynamic meal. It wasn't something that happened hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years ago, and so we just remember it. But actually, it was a dynamic meal. It was something that influenced their lives today. And I think that sometimes we treat communion as though it's, well, Jesus commanded it, we ought to do it, let's get it over with, let's do it. It isn't like that at all. Communion is a dynamic meal. These are dynamic symbols, the bread and the wine. Because whenever the Bible links a symbol with a covenant, it's always vibrant, it's always powerful, it's always dynamic. And that's what Jesus did. He links symbols, simple bread, simple wine, with the covenant that God says, I have died for you. It's a bit like the rainbow in the sky, you know, with Noah and so on. Whenever the rainbow appears in the clouds, I will see it and remember the everlasting covenant between God and all living creatures of every kind on the earth. So God said to Noah, this is the sign of the covenant I have established between me and all life on earth. And a covenant sign means it's relevant today. It isn't just something in the long dusty past. It's something which is crucially relevant today, and that the promise that God has given is for today. So what I want to suggest this morning is that when we break bread, when we celebrate communion, when we share in this meal, we're not just recalling or remembering this event, but that actually what we're doing is actually taking hold of the grace that Jesus won for us, that we need today and tomorrow and the next day to live our lives for God. You know, salvation may be something that all of us have experienced at one point. Some of us can actually say it was on such and such a day. Some of us can say that it was over a period of time. But we all have experienced salvation, I hope. If we haven't, then today's a great day to experience it. But actually, the Bible also says we should work out our salvation every day. Every day we should work out our salvation. So there's a rhythm of life that is about working out through the grace of God our salvation day by day. And therefore communion gives us a brilliant focus. Not just to remember a dry and dusty thing and an awful thing, a sad thing, suffering that happened 2,000 years ago, but actually is something that's dynamic, something that will force us into the week. If we were celebrating communion now, then communion would force us into next week with God's grace and God's empowerment to live our lives for Him next week until the next time. And every time we break bread, we proclaim the gospel message afresh and anew. We embrace it, this new covenant, again and again and again and again. We don't get saved again, but actually each day we get empowered and equipped in order to continue to serve God for the rest of our lives. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for your grace and your love and your mercy to us. Thank you for just reminding us that remembering is not just something that we can do academically, but that it's something that we do that influences our lives day by day. We bless you and thank you that you've caused us to continue to remember what you have done for us. We think you're brilliant. We love you. We worship you. We acknowledge you afresh and anew today. Thank you for a body broken. Thank you for blood shed for each one of us. In Jesus' name we pray it. Amen. Don't forget, before you go today, or perhaps after another cup of coffee, if you something that has struck you, draw it. And then fold it up and take it home with you and put it on the bathroom wall. Okay? God bless you.